Welcome to the Teaching Tax Flow podcast, where the goal is to empower and educate you to legally and ethically minimize taxes paid over your lifetime.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Teaching Tax Flow podcast, episode 14. We are here. We have arrived. Great topic for this one. So if y'all ready for this, I feel like it's that old.
Jock jams song.
So the title of this is Responding to a Love Letter from Darth Vader. Now, who in the world is Darth Vader? Chris, who's Darth Vader? Tell us. Tell us who this creepy...
That was my lightsaber. Darth Vader, the dark side, the IRS.
Ah, okay. All right. So the IRS. So these folks are out here writing love letters? Is that what it says? I love you, Chris. Pay me. Pay me now.
Well, that's their preferred method of correspondence. And we are... My name's Chris Picuro, by the way. Sometimes we forget to introduce ourselves.
We get so excited about this.
If you're listening to this podcast 14, you should have listened to the first 13.
Right. So they know who they are. So.
Yeah. But, you know, once they see who our guest is, they're probably just going to tune to this one.
Right. So I guess we should shut up. So Darth Vader, we like him. We love him. We hate him. They hate us. They love us. It's a thing, right? So what does this all mean? Handling IRS notices and audits. So Chris, I know we got a great guest for this, probably one of the best ones we pulled from your Rolodex, because I'm sure you've had a Rolodex.
Are you saying I'm old enough to have a Rolodex?
No.
I do, though. I used to have one.
Let's unveil this. Who's our guest?
I am really happy to announce our guest. He is an amazing tax professional. He's been on USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, ABC, CBS This Morning, Forbes, Fox, NBC News, The Street, CBS.
Time Magazine, I think, was in there too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But guess what? This is probably his crowning achievement of his career, to be on the Teaching Tax Flow podcast. But welcome, Andrew Poulos, to our podcast. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you guys doing today?
We have too much fun.
We are fabulous. And Andrew and I go back quite a few years. We've served on the Intuit Tax Council together, became fast friends. And we quite often bounce things off each other as practitioners. We go to the same barber. And he's just a great guy. And welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for helping us out. And Andrew has... Well, can you tell us a little bit about your expertise when dealing with the dark side?
Oh man, Chris, I appreciate you guys having me on today. Obviously this is an exciting episode for me, as probably is for you, simply because of what we deal with in our profession. You know, most people sort of look at us as what the old phrase used to be, Chris, bean counters, you know, counting numbers, crunching numbers. Man, those days are all far gone, right? We get inundated with clients, taxpayers who get notices these days. The floodgates will open up even more under the Inflation Reduction Act bill, that, as we've heard. So as the IRS beefs up, you know, that means that we've got to beef up to be able to help taxpayers in America across the country. But yeah, I mean, a little bit about, you know, what I do is probably similar to what you do. We obviously do accounting, tax work, tax planning, but of course, the tax resolution, tax representation is just crucial element of our business, because taxpayers need help out there and don't know how to navigate the dark side.
Absolutely. Andrew and his firm are amazing at the tax preparation, tax planning, but that IRS collection representation, IRS audit representation, not lights out, best I've ever dealt with. And I've dealt with at least two people. No, I'm just kidding. Several people. You mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act, and there's a lot of concern out there with the IRS at least being allocated the resources to hire several people in wherever they're going to find these people from, I'd like to know. But anyway, what are some of the, you know, obviously people are concerned about that. People maybe put a little too much weight into what they hear on the news or on the radio, other than this podcast. This is a very important podcast.
Very incredible.
And we, yeah, exactly. So how do you think that's going to affect how the IRS operates and moving forward? And also I wanted to touch on the different types of common notices that the IRS sends to a taxpayer, because they all have different number codes as well.
Absolutely. You know, Chris, one of the things that obviously we're all concerned, and everyone's concerned, is what the propaganda that people have been hearing, you know, on through media, social media, TV, online, whatever the case, wherever you get your news and views from. Obviously, you've heard about the Inflation Reduction Act bill in Congress beefing up, giving a tremendous budget to the IRS. So a few things that we need to hash out here. There's just so much misinformation and disinformation out there these days, obviously, with politics, unfortunately, that transcends into other areas, which is, you know, IRS and what we deal with. First and foremost, the budget, the $80 billion, that's over a 10-year period. Okay, so it's not that the IRS is getting $80 billion next year to steamroll taxpayers across the country. So first and foremost, it's over a 10-year period. Now, with that said, if you do the math, that's still almost twice the budget, the annual budget that they have right now, which is about $13 billion, give or take, $13 billion a year. So if you do an additional eight, that takes them to about $21 billion, give or take. That's a lot of firepower, a lot of, you know, ammunition that Congress has given the IRS. They are going to hire roughly 87,000. It's not 87,000 IRS armed agents and all this nonsense that's been going out there, right? So only CI, criminal special agents, criminal investigators carry badges and guns. Revenue agents, revenue officers, regular IRS personnel don't carry guns. So let's just put all that nonsense to the side. Aside from that, look, at the end of the day, you give any agency, you give us 10 times our budget, we're going to be, you know, sort of have ammunition and be deadly in a sense, right? I don't mean deadly as they're going to kill people, but they're going to have firepower to be able to pursue and taxpayers, those who haven't filed, those who owe. And that's what the whole strategy is here for the government, right? We have a huge tax gap of, you know, probably at this point, trillions of dollars. And somehow they got to close the tax gap instead of letting it grow bigger. And so what that means is notices are going to, you know, hit the floodgates. I mean, inevitably, starting probably sooner than later, we're going to start seeing taxpayers get notices that they've never seen before. They've never had to deal with before. It's going to be in large quantities and people have to be prepared. You know, you asked specifically about some of the notices, CP2000, you and I both know that's the most common one, right? Mm-hmm. As a taxpayer, if you get a CP2000 notice, the worst thing you can do is not open the damn envelope. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we see it all the time. People reach out to us like, Andrew, you know, I got this notice. Well, what does the notice say? Well, I'm scared to open up the envelope. What are you talking about? You're scared to open up the envelope? I mean, it's like, come on. open up the envelope and, you know, and tell me what it says or send me a copy or something, right? But, you know, and I say that because, you know, it's shocking how many people truly just, you know, they get that envelope in the mailbox and, man, they're scared to open up the damn envelope. Open it up. And be proactive versus being reactive. So, because typically you're only going to have 30 days to take action. And so if you just pick up the envelope, you know, on your way in from work, you know, in your mailbox and you put it on a kitchen counter and you leave it there because you're scared or because you forget and 30 days go by, you may have just been very, you know, caused a very detrimental situation to yourself potentially on the type of notice. Okay, so you've got the CP2000 notice. That's typically and most commonly where the issues begin. So you got the IRS basically send you a love letter and saying, hey, you know what, Chris, we don't agree with your tax return or what you filed, and we're proposing these changes. And you've got 30 days to agree or disagree. If you don't reply, guess what? You know, Darth Vader's going to say, you know what, we assume that you agree with us. So the next notice is going to come after that, telling you how much you owe them.
Right. So not all IRS agents are stormtroopers. They don't all have weapons. And that CP2000, it's gotten, you know, as a CPA and some of us out there in the community, wouldn't mind having a few more people at the IRS to help us resolve tax issues. I would say the vast, vast majority of taxpayers are trying to do the right thing. A lot of those CP2000, which is your most common notice over the last couple of years, have been derived from these you know, they're really nuisance issues such as the economic impact payments, the advanced child tax credit payments. Those a lot of those payments that went out to people or to taxpayers were required to self-report what they received and what they didn't receive. And there's a lot of times just a small discrepancy between what the IRS has on their transcripts and what was reported on a tax return.
And Chris, to that point too. So really, what I'm hearing here, and just to kind of step back a little bit, is you can always be overly prepared a little bit, right? So as long as you have all your ducks in a row, for lack of better terms, if you do get one of these notices and you know who to contact, you know what to do, what not to do, should say, you should be in a pretty good position. Correct? Yep. Is that a good assumption?
Exactly. So one of the, what we talked about handling IRS notices and examinations, the first step is, sounds like what Andrew's advising is, don't ignore it. It's not going to go away by itself, the notice. And the notice doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to owe money. It's just identifying that there's some type of discrepancy, typically.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, you're spot on, Chris. It's, you know, there's something there that the IRS disagrees or has a discrepancy with what's been filed in a tax return. And so, you know, the first and foremost is that you have to take action. And that action could be you open it up, you review what, you know, what the IRS has. Maybe you're skilled enough as a taxpayer to be able to decipher everything and handle it on your own, right? It could be something very simple. Maybe you don't want to handle it on your own and you go hire a, you know, tax professional to represent you. But at the end of the day, taking action is the top priority when you receive any type of notice. I mean, we haven't even hit 87,000 new IRS personnel. I'm going to call it personnel, not agents, because again, with misinformation out there, they're, the 87,000 that they hire are not going to be all revenue agents or revenue officers. It's government wide, right? So agency wide is what I was trying to say. So agency wide. So it can be people in the mailroom. It could be revenue officers, revenue agents. Just all sorts, and they need help everywhere. I mean, it's the budgets and the efficiency of the IRS. Obviously, we've seen it over the last probably decade that, you know, plus that we've been around dealing with tax resolution, and it's just gone, you know, just down the toilet in a sense, right? It's just, it's, you know, I hate to be like that, but it's really, which creates problems for taxpayers and for us as tax professionals trying to represent taxpayers, because we can't get any assistance. We can't do anything. So it's sending off a reply to the IRS CP2000, for example, and then waiting 6 months to get a reply. And then you get a reply and it's the same CP2000 notice you got before. So now you're replying a second time. And then, you know, taxpayers sitting here patiently trying to wait to resolve the issue. So it's just like, you know, it's a mess. So part of them ramping up with some more personnel is sort of a good thing. But, you know, we just want to make sure that we don't have a situation where we start having abuse of power and abuse of authority by IRS personnel. That's always a concern.
So you get the love letter from Darth Vader. First step is you're going to open it up. The second step, what would you advise someone do as far as, do you try to resolve it on your own? Do you hire a tax professional? I know there's processes for having someone represent you or being a third party designee, but I would say, so don't ignore step one. What do you think the best step two or step three would be for someone that did receive that love letter from Darth Vader?
Yeah. Look, I think it really, relatively speaking, depends on, you know, how you got your tax return filed, right? If you went online to say TurboTax or Tax Act or somewhere and filed your own tax return, self-prepared return, then you're sort of in limbo because you need some assistance and you really don't have anyone that you work with for tax preparation. So you got to go find someone. If you had a tax professional, tax preparer, regulated or unregulated, meaning licensed or unlicensed, perhaps, that works, help you prepare that return and file it for you, maybe you go back to them as your, you know, as your starting point and say, hey, I got this notice. Can you help me? And they might be able to assist you and say, yep, this is an easy fix. Or they'll say, hey, you know what? I don't do tax representation, tax resolution. You probably need someone, you know, in this area to handle this scope of work. But, you know, you got to figure out, first and foremost, what the letter is all about. And it just, it, again, it could be just a simple fix, right? Hey, the IRS says you, that we've paid you, you know, $1,400 for the stimulus, and you put on there accidentally that you got $1,200, so you have a $200 discrepancy. You review your bank statement, you figure out that you got $1,400 indeed, so you owe the government the $200 that they were claiming, right? Or it could be a notice that they say, hey, you forgot to report, you know, 10 stock trades that equate to $100 profit, or you didn't report your crypto that they're tracing or something, and now you've got just a bigger issue that's going to take someone licensed, competent, you know, and experienced to be able to help you.
Exactly. And we always say, and this is true in many industries, just because you get paid to do something doesn't make you a pro. And that's where you need to, if you're working with an accountant that you don't have the confidence or doesn't offer the representation service, someone like Andrew and his firm would be the person to talk to about an IRS letter. Or now, And obviously, you know, some letters are a little more serious than others. The CP2000 is pretty much that baseline, other than the letter that you get when the IRS says, hey, we need an extra 60 days to look at this for the third time. That's probably the most innocent letter. But other than that letter, a notification of examination. At that point, I would imagine you'd advise to definitely talk to someone with very good representation experience.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you and I, obviously, we work on a professional level and as friends, but we've bounced ideas off on representing taxpayers, right? Because while we all both do representation, you know, there's a different level of what we've dealt with in the past or different experiences. And sometimes sharing those war stories helps us figure out our strategy, for example, right? So, you get into an exam, for example, I've got one right now, a client pretty much that's under examination, and we've got to, deal with it and battle for our client. And a lot of exams up until now have been coming out of AUR. So they're correspondence exams, meaning you're going to get a letter in the mail and Uncle Sam's going to be like, hey, there's discrepancy here. You're under examination, yada, yada, yada. Give us, this is what we're proposing disallowing or changing. And then you got to figure out how to navigate and fight that battle, because that's going to be by mail. The old traditional, like in person or with an IRS agent, they still exist, but they're far and few between now. Maybe they'll ramp up with those in the future. But overall, for example, we've got one right now where it's face-to-face. I've been dealing with the auditor, trying to figure out, where we're going to meet and what she wants to review and how this might go. A lot of it is strategy. People just think that, it's just that it's, I'm just going to call the IRS up. And no, it doesn't work like that, right? A lot of it, when you're under exam, is strategy, trying to figure out how to navigate, how to best save yourself, how do you save yourself from Darth Vader, your soul from Darth Vader, if you've done something incorrect, or if you've done something worse yet, something bad, that you knew is not correct, right? So, you've got to be able to deal with someone skilled.
And that's, a point that we touched on a little bit, is making sure that you're working with, I make a joke about not everyone that gets paid is a pro, but making sure you're working with someone that's authorized to represent you in front of the IRS, because someone like Andrew and his firm, they're going to make sure that they give the IRS exactly what they're requesting. But sometimes you don't need to give them more than, you should not give them more than they're requesting. And that's something I've seen out there, that you can open up additional years of examination. You could open up additional items, because in my experience, usually the examiner is looking for something. If they stumble across something else, they have to pursue through that. Yep. But if they don't stumble across anything, you want to keep that examination as focused as possible.
Hey, listen, let me tell you, the first thing I always do when an exam comes to the door, or a client, taxpayer who retains my firm, retains me to represent them for an exam, is I try to do some research to figure out, who I'm up against, right? Because essentially that's what it is. It's a strategy. Am I dealing with a 20-year, 30-year IRS veteran agent, or am I dealing with a new rookie who just got hired under, the Inflation Reduction Act bill, right? So if I'm dealing with sort of a, more of a rookie, and this is not in any derogatory manner, but, if I'm dealing with someone who's newer and I've got, 27 years experience, 28 years, I'm feeling comfortable that I can navigate. It's not about being deceptive or deceiving the government, because that's not what it's about when we represent taxpayers that come to us with problems. It's about navigating the process and knowing how to steer. So if I know that a taxpayer has three problems, A, B, C, that I've identified, and I know that the government, based on what they're asking, is looking at possibly, issue number B versus A or C, I'm going to try to steer them to B and minimize due damage control from the agent not being able to figure out that there's possibly other matters, other issues there that they can pick apart, right? And that's why I say it's all about strategy. It's not, and some people will read into this like, oh, it's about, deceiving. No, we provide what we're ask for. You don't provide more than you ask for. If they detect something else, a deficiency or something there, and they ask about it, you have to disclose and you have to work through those challenges. And Chris, with that said, and you, I think, we've kind of had these discussions before, is not all audits are going to end up favorable for the taxpayer. So as a taxpayer, you've got to hire someone that can navigate you through the exam, but you also got to have that person, and hopefully it's the same person, who can help you navigate through perhaps the next layer after the exam is closed, if you close as an unagreed upon exam where you take it to appeals. We've had like that, where we've been able to, you know, fight the battle for the taxpayer for literally about 2.5 years, go into exam, we create the strategy, how to do damage control for the things that they've done, perhaps, and then close out of there as an unagreed upon case strategically, right? We disagree, mm-hmm. but we force the agent to close the case. The agent's happy to close the case. You know, he or she has some huge, you know, adjustment, you know, on their books, on their report, they're looking stellar to their boss because guess what? They've generated a $200,000 or $300,000, you know, audit change, and the taxpayers coming out of exam owing $200,000 or $300,000. It's significant, right? That's astronomical. Most people would have a heart attack. But the strategy is to be able to go to appeals because you know that you're going to probably be able to present, you know, evidence and documentation to reduce that $200,000 or $300,000 down to a more, you know, meaningful level that's comfortable for the taxpayer. And it's all about strategy.
And like my Star Wars nerds will understand, that's why R2-D2 had the plans of the Death Star and Darth Vader is trying to get him in episode 4. So, I would say, you know, for the people in the Teaching Tax Flow ecosystem, you're going to want to learn more from Andrew. You're going to want to visit his website. He's had a lot of amazing content, dives into the appeals process, maybe abatement strategy, statute of limitations, and different resources that the IRS has. Unfortunately, we're at our time constraint here. I'm sure Andrew's going to come back on in the future, but definitely check out Andrew. We're going to have a link to his website and all of his social media in the show notes. I enjoy the all the content and
the wealth of information, we should say. So, and it's funny talking to the two of you. I'm sitting here thinking like, wow, this is a lot of brain power and no hair.
Yeah,
two bald guys.
That might be the reason why we have so much brain power is because we have no hair.
Yes, there's nothing to hold it in, right? So it just keeps spewing out. It's a never ending flow.
Bald's a new mullet.
Have you ever seen the two of us having drinks discussing the tax resolution stuff and cases that we've worked on? You should come for drinks one time with us. You'll probably be like, guys, I'm out of here, man.
I'll see you later.
Maybe we'll do an episode in the future with war story. You know, we can do a virtual happy hour war stories.
There you go.
From the dark side.
As wild as this sounds, so obviously, you know, the IRS agency is a whole, so staffing up. I'm going to make another assumption that these new staff members will not be texting you, calling you, asking you to give you give them your social security number over the phone pay $30,000 to get your grandma out of jail.
No. Or send them a $600, you know, Walmart card. So you don't get an arrest warrant, right? You know, look, it's shocking. And I know you guys were running out of time, but just very quickly, as John has mentioned, man, it is shocking how many people out there across the country, you know, actually fall for that stuff or worse yet, that I get calls for people telling me that they got, you know, the IRS called them IRS agent and they're going to issue an arrest warrant, this and that. The IRS doesn't pick up the phone and call. Heck, we can't even get through to them. So there's certain. So, if you get anything like that, 99.999% of the time, those are all scams that are trying to do phishing, what we call phishing, reel you in, get your information. As soon as they get your information, they can hack, they can do all sorts of things, identity theft, which is another issue, Chris, that probably you want to deal with on a different segment, right? Which is ultra important. But yeah, don't give your information out to anyone. When in doubt, call your tax professional if you have one and run anything by them before you start giving out any information to anyone.
Well, Andrew Poulos, thank you so much. We will definitely, I know we're going to have a lot of people interested in speaking with you and your firm, and definitely make sure that you align yourself with the right people in your board of directors. We talk about that a lot. And tax representation and preparation and planning is a very important part of that. So I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, Chris,
thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Teaching Tax Flow, the podcast. Episode 14 here. Again, as we always say, we have great content coming up. If you haven't had an opportunity to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes that we've released, they all tie in. It's kind of funny. It's almost like we had a strategy or we had a plan in place for ourselves, right?
Once in a while.
Yeah, we kind of
squirrel gets a nut.
Put the plan to work. So thank you, everybody. And we will see you next week as always.